Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Guys, sometimes as we get older, the vision gets blurry. Did I see that Sasquatch on the trail? Where's that chupacabra I've been looking for? Was that an alien? I don't know. I want to know for sure. Well, now we can know for sure, guys. There's something called Boggle Goggles. New hoax-proof lenses that see right through everything except these little critters' hideout. Check it out at goggle.boggle.toggle. Hello, everybody. This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who can squeeze slug juice out and make backcountry protein shakes for everyone in the group, Carl Mandrioli, keeping us healthy on the trail. What's up, buddy?
You're so gross. Welcome to the Backpack Mission Podcast. With me today is Derek Somerville. He's a man that thinks the easiest mountain to climb is the one that's always idle. Mount Everest. Rest.
Oh, geez. That was maybe top 10 worst right there. I thought you were going to say the biggest mountain to climb was like the staircase by my house.
You don't even go up staircases. You only walk flats.
Oh, that's true.
Like Costco doesn't have stairs. What are you talking about?
My calves thank me every day. And my Achilles do.
Sometimes on those like little parking lot islands, you ever kind of walk across the rocks just to get a little bit of mix up with the terrain?
I do. That's really gambling though. You know, really gambling. Okay.
All right. We have a guest on today.
We got a stud.
Yeah. He's 21 years old. I don't want to give away any part of his story because his story is unique and it's amazing and it's impressive. Maybe it might bother you. I don't know. There might be a variety of reactions here, but his name is Sam Carter. He goes by Shade is his trail name.
Shade.
Yeah. So it's all about a 3-pound base weight is kind of the main part of the story. We'll get to that. So... yeah, base weight. We're talking base weight, my friend.
Base weight.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your base weight?
My heart. It says it right there.
Okay. You get no idea what your base weight is, do you?
No, I don't think I've actually calculated it in a while.
Yeah? So you're suggesting that you actually have calculated it?
I did before. Okay. Yeah. Long ago.
All right.
But I've changed gear, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I probably need to.
Do you know what my base weight is?
More than mine. What is yours, like 12?
I call my base weight, I don't care what my base weight is because it doesn't matter what your base weight is. In the end, it matters what your total weight is. And so many people overpack consumables. They could have a base weight that's like 10 pounds lighter than me and still their pack's heavier than mine because they're overpacking their consumables.
We've seen this happen.
I know. So I don't care. I care what my total weight is, my friend.
And I am proud that we are usually the two lowest members of the group weight-wise.
Right.
I'm proud of that.
Right.
Take pride in that. So, but this guy crushes it all. So we're going to learn about this guy.
That being said, I will say if I was a thru hiker going on these long trails like Sam was doing with the, you know, the Continental Divide Trail, Appalachian Trail, Pacific Crest Trail, I would highly care about my base weight because your total weight is constantly fluctuating with, you know, resupplies and this and that. So my thought doesn't directly relate to his story, but just generally speaking for your, you know, 4 or 5 day backpacking trip, I want to know total weight, folks.
Total.
Speaking of that, did you know that we put out like a YouTube short and like an Instagram reel with our pack weigh-in from our Banff trip? Did you know that?
Did you finally put it out?
Yeah, I put out last month, actually.
I think I got beat that trip for the lightest, didn't I?
You did. Well, the scale glitched out, and so your first pack weigh-in was 0.4 pounds. So you didn't...
Oh, so I won that one.
Yeah.
0.4. Correct. Nice.
But we got we got a ton of hits. Dude, we actually got some crazy reactions. I mean, how do you react negatively to that video? Here's a pack weigh-in. Like, how do you react negatively?
People just want to troll. We got them. They just like to troll.
Or weird ones, yeah. So we got people that were telling us that the Marines are better because they pack more and they're in the heat in Afghanistan. And I was like, we're not Marines. We're not going to battle. But we respect Marines and we appreciate their service, but it's not the same kind of trip.
If I was trained as a Marine, I'd probably pack like a Marine.
Yeah. We got the hunters who were like, that ain't nothing. We pack out 100 pounds of elk or whatever it is that they pack out.
Right.
I didn't say it, but honestly, the hunter guy that comes on our trip, his name's Eric. He did awesome last year, but he's a guy that can pack out the 100 pounds, but he's not typically the fastest guy on our trip. So I don't know that directly correlates. And then, we just got people telling us about, I don't know.
Trollers alert. Trollers alert. Like, look at Carl's arms, and he knows. But, like, come on. He's got to have a light pack, guys. He's got to have a light pack. So.
Thank you. Anyway. All right. I just thought it was interesting. Okay. But let's get to it, man. So we got the Bible verse for the episode is Proverbs 27:12. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Are you somebody who tends to run towards or embrace danger?
I don't know if I run towards it.
Burning building, somebody stuck inside, you're like, oh, let somebody else handle that.
Oh, you're talking like that.
Anything, any danger scenario.
Yes. Like if somebody's in need or in trouble, which this has happened to me before, then I'll run in.
Okay.
Or run over to help. But if it's like something like, hey, there's a raging fire in the forest and there's like a little, I don't know. I think there's a limit, you know? Are you gonna go try and save the 2,000-pound moose?
What do you mean? In the forest?
Or no?
No. No, yeah, but if it's like a person, if you're there and maybe like, you know, a log has fallen across your leg and you're like, help, help. And then I have to determine, I'm going to put my life at risk to help Derek and use my superhuman strength to lift the log off his leg. I'm going to do it, my friend. I'm doing it.
Let's be honest. I'm dying. If you got to lift the log, I'm dying.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try and I'll die with you. How about that?
Fair enough. Just get something with leverage and pop it up.
Okay. A lot of processing time during that session right there.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty cool under pressure.
I don't think I'm as cool as you. I'm pretty good, but I'm not... I think if I had to pick somebody like, hey, there's an intense situation, life or death, who do you want helping you? Assuming you know what you're doing, it's not like some sort of like medical weird thing. Yeah.
True. I missed this interview because of a pressure situation. And we had some hospital stuff going on to leave it at that. But
you made the right decision, right?
Yeah. I was under the pressure cooker for sure. So definitely bummed I missed this guy. He's got a great story. I can't wait to hear it.
Just to clarify, so Derek was at the hospital with his kids one of his kids was struggling medically. Mm-hmm. This is a place you're very familiar. You go to the emergency room, from my perspective, a lot, correct?
She's a cat with 9 lives. She's probably used about 9 and then some. So, okay. Yeah, we.
All right, so I'm glad. It's all good now, right? We're good to go.
She's good now. Okay. She's at home. She's recuperating, but
All right. So because you missed this one, I actually like called in reinforcements last minute. I got Tupperware Mike to step in on the interview. And cool. So we got Tupperware Mike. We got Sam Shade Carter coming up. Here we go. All right. With us today, we've got Sam Shade Carter. He's a man that was born after 9/11, after the Lord of the Rings trilogy was released. And he also has perhaps... the lowest base weight of all time. How's it going, man?
Going great. I'm having a great day in my hometown, and no bugs biting me, and I'm sleeping on a bed tonight.
Where's your hometown, Sam?
I'm from Carlsbad. Carlsbad's a great town. I grew up here, went to school here, and it's a local surf town in San Diego.
Nice.
And Sam is 21 years old, and he's making waves in the backpacking community already. He's had an article in Backpacker Magazine, not Backpacking Magazine, but Backpacker. Apparently, it's still alive online. The hard copies are out of there. But, making waves. And so we want to hear your story. And with us today, we also have Tupperware Mike. He's pinch hitting for Derek as another interviewer. So, Mike, how's it going with you, man?
Good, Carl. I'm glad to be on the show again, and it's good to meet you, Sam. I'm looking forward to hearing your story. It sounds really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So first question I got for you. All right. So what's the plan? So you want to hike long trails. Give us the overview. What's going on? What's your plan here, Sam?
My plan is to complete the Triple Crown, which was my dream since the age of 13. I was out there to hike the calendar year Triple Crown, and I started that on Groundhog's Day, February 2nd, 2023.
Okay. So about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. So you started it. And so you had to finish it by Groundhog's Day 2024 this year.
Yes. And some would say the cutoff is the calendar year. So you have to start in, say, January and have to finish by December. And others would question whether the terminology warrants a full year or just the calendar. However, the challenge of the weather was the biggest hurdle in the way of a calendar year Triple Crown.
Wow, that's crazy.
So you said that you wanted this since you were a kid. So where did you first hear about this? Or where did this kind of come to you?
This came to me when I was 13 watching a presentation about the Pacific Crest Trail. The hiker named Barrel Roll hiked all three of the trails over 5 years and did multiple presentations. I went to each of them, and that made me want to do the Triple Crown. He mentioned in one of his presentations, less people had done the calendar year Triple Crown than it been on the moon at the time. And that was a fire that it lit under me, and I could not rest until I completed my Triple Crown. And my calendar year Triple Crown happened after I saw Quadzilla going out there and pushing big miles on the Appalachian Trail. I was watching it in early January, and later that month did I know I'd be resigning and sending my ticket to Georgia, getting a ticket to Georgia so I could hike the Appalachian Trail and then follow that up with the Continental and Pacific Crest Trails.
Okay, and Quadzilla is a famous YouTuber out there who does a lot of through hiking. And so you mentioned you went to presentations. What, like, are we talking about like at school, or are you talking about at REI, or where are you talking about here?
At a local backpacking outfitter in San Diego and near Carlsbad.
So at 13 years old, you got this fire in you. Did you grow up in a family that was outdoorsy? How did this all start?
Yes. Growing up, I did outdoor weekend trips with my dad car camping. And in my teenage years, I grew up with my dad. We were doing outdoor adventures like through the Sierra Club. Oh, cool. Our adventures were the Wilderness Basics course. We would do weekend outings such as a snow mountain or desert backpack. Gotcha. And that is when I fell in love with backpacking with my dad. So we set out in 2021 to do the Sierras together.
Okay. Cool, man. All right. That's good dad there, inspiring that. I wish my kids wanted more backpacking personally.
I feel like all good outdoor stories or adventures like this, it all starts with, you know, some kind of a memory like that. Like for me, it was my brother taking me out backpacking for the first time. Or other people, it's like you, it's their dads. You just have this nostalgic memories that really start these fires inside of you.
Do you think that other people, Mike, are telling stories like, my first time backpacking was with a guy named Tupperware Mike, and that's their story is like you're the key, like the linchpin, so to speak?
I made it exciting for him. I lit that fire for him. I'm sure there is. I bet you.
Okay.
I bet you there's 90% of the listeners right now are thinking back to what lit their fire into their outdoor life.
Yeah,
who
got them going, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And 80% of them is probably this podcast, right?
Exactly. Right? You and Derek, that's it.
Okay, so here's the reason why your story is so interesting is you decided to do this ultra-duper-ultra-ultralight 3-pound base weight, right?
Correct.
Okay, so tell us about this. Where did the idea come from? And then, like, what's the 3 pounds?
The idea came from continuous improvement over time in 10 months of living outdoors and doing the calendar year Triple Crown. I was able to get my base weight down once the weather got warmer, and I figured out which gear I used. And what was in my pack was the most interesting. I had the Sawyer Squeeze to filter my water, and I carried a Garmin InReach Mini for safety.
Okay.
The most important thing was that was a backup, and what I stored in my head and on my phone was maps and data and trail conditions and weather. And I would look at that constantly until I lost my battery pack in Washington.
Wait. You said you stored it in your head, so you're memorizing trail routes?
Yeah.
Yes, like a living gut hook app or living far out. So in my 3-pound base weight, which was my section of Oregon and Washington on the Pacific Crest Trail. So I hiked from the Canadian border to the Northern California. And that was where I had a 3-pound base weight, 2.67 pounds. I had a Sawyer's.
Not even 3 pounds, less than 3 pounds.
Correct. I had a Sawyer's Squeeze, a Garmin InReach Mini 2, a Nikkor NU headlamp, a Nikkor NU2 headlamp with a USB-C charging port. I had a bivy and a $20 Amazon pack.
But the bivy was like one of those emergency bivies, right?
An emergency survival bivy.
Like the crinkly space blankety kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
No sleeping bag, no tarp, or no...
tent.
Quilt. No sleeping bag
No quilt, no sleeping pad, nothing. None of that.
Okay. That is crazy, man. And I know, okay, so like sleep-wise, assuming conditions were fine, you actually slept okay?
Yes, the first 3 days I did not, but I started sleeping better. Yeah. I eventually getting upwards of 7 hours of sleep a night towards California. And,
wow. That's not that much for through hiking.
Yeah, right. For like 10 plus hours of it in bed, I would get 7 hours of sleep, but a lot of shivering at night and having to walk when it gets cold. I would carry a headlamp in my pack, a charger brick, and some cables as well.
So your strategy was, okay, I'm freezing. This is not like safe freezing. So I'm just going to get up and start walking.
Yeah. If it was too cold, I couldn't sleep like below 45. Like if it was like past 4 a.m., I'd probably be walking because it'd be too cold. So a lot of night hiking, a lot of sleeping in like daytime naps to catch up on a few extra hours. When it's all nice and warm, you just stretch out.
Did you ever have people like interrupt you? Like you're like just kind of crashed out under a tree and people are like, hey man, are you okay?
Yes. I remember in Washington, some people asking if I was all right. I was having a little nap.
You're like, not anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So what did you do to get comfortable at night? Did you put pine needles underneath your brush or anything?
I would dig out a hip hole, but say if bugs were biting me, I had no head net or anything. So I felt that I was less bothered than other hikers. Anyway, there was a lot of bugs in Oregon and Washington, and I just faced them. I didn't use any I had permethrin on my clothing. And I also used a form of swatting and a long hat to protect certain areas. But besides that, it was just out there in the elements.
Oh, man.
Wow. That's crazy. Moving that fast. So how many calories did you have to intake while you were moving that fast trying to get this done?
I was shooting for 4,000 a day. It was hard to get that many in.
That you're eating while you're hiking, right?
Yes. If you're not puking, you can eat more.
Okay.
So that's kind of the idea. And you can pack more food if you're eating.
Life tip there. If you're not puking, you can eat more. That's good right there.
That's my life goal right there. If I'm not puking, I'm eating.
I don't want to puke, but I definitely want to eat more for sure. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you described all the gear you had. Then in addition to that, you had your water and you had your food with you, and that was it. And you had it in like a, you know, $15 Amazon day pack, one of those ultralight packs, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That is.
Did that Amazon pack hold up for you through the trip?
It held up part of the way. Okay. I actually wanted to go lighter. I got rid of that pack for a 12-liter Salomon running vest near Oregon.
Whoa.
And it had no capacity for food.
Okay.
So I was shoving food, like holding it in my mouth while leaving towns, doing crazy things to get more food.
What?
Was it like strapped to your chest with the harness there, like underneath the vest part?
Shirt pockets, and I would put it up against my back between my pack,
okay,
and then carry it for like 5 miles before I would be able to like consume it.
Yeah.
Like get hungry enough to eat it.
Yeah. You want to go lighter, man. You just bring grocery bags. Like you just carry the bags. They're also
carry them on the side.
Yes. That's a great, I did that one time on a resupply. I carried two grocery bags like a mile on trail too. Those are trail mile. So that is a strategy. The next gen hiker, no pack.
Okay.
Has just two grocery bags. And it's like, you're bringing mom's groceries home. I was hiking home on the Pacific Crest Trail where I was carrying 3 pounds through Oregon and Washington.
Okay.
I started at the Canadian border with my dad and carried that 2.67 pound base weight through Washington and Oregon and into Northern California where I encountered fires.
Right.
And I was hiking home was the intention.
Did you get like, so people are obviously, you know, they're going to be encountering you pretty far from trailheads. They're going to be encountering you like out in the wilderness. Were people generally impressed with what you were doing, or did you get called kind of like foolish?
A lot of people were concerned.
Okay.
Or they were patting me on the back saying, keep up the great work and just hope I don't have to, you know, read about you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I would worry about. So what were your parents thinking? Were they worried about you at all?
Oh, my parents were worried sick. I didn't tell them how light I was packing because it wouldn't have been responsible of me to have them worry so much.
Interesting. All right. So it sounds like you made it pretty far, at least on the Pacific Crest Trail, but your goal wasn't just the Pacific Crest Trail. Your goal was the calendar year Triple Crown. So, all right, give it to us. Overall, was this a successful adventure? Did you achieve your goal? If not, how far did you get? Where do we end up here?
I hiked 5,000 miles and learned that I was a confident hiker and a strong hiker. I didn't believe in my abilities until I conquered my inner trails. And I was able to figure out I needed what was in my head and in my hands to be out there on trail. I was able to figure out that with the help of others and the people that I could call upon in a bad situation or other people on the trail, I could get out of a horrible situation. What I'm fortunate of is nothing bad happened. Would I recommend this base weight? No, because I did not complete my calendar year triple crown. I hiked 5,000 miles and I was able to lower my base weight because of everything I learned over 10 months of hiking on the continental Pacific Crest and Appalachian trails.
Right. So, okay. So, and I don't have the mental math going on right here. Mike, maybe you do, but what's the total mileage had you completed it?
It's about 6,800 to 8,400. Okay. So like that's the range. You could do it depending on your CDT route.
I go for the 6,400 version personally, but that's just me.
Yeah.
So you said inside you had to deal with some stuff. Did you have some stuff that you worked out internally inside when you were on the trail when you said that you had to work something out on the trail?
Well, I had to figure out, I did a lot of growing out there on the trail. I was fortunate to have my dad's Marine buddies help me out on certain sections that were critical. I had an infected toe in Virginia that I hiked on the infected toe all the way to Katahdin in Maine. And I was able to get the help to heal those 2 days off in Virginia, save my hike. And when I got home to start the Pacific Crest Trail in Canada, I was blessed by my friend and doctor. And I was able to get Chacos recommended to me. These Chacos took me from the Canadian border into California. Because my toe was no longer bumping into the side of my shoe and hurting my ingrown toe.
You walked through Washington, Oregon, and most of California in Chacos?
Yes.
That is insane to me. That's crazy.
Good thing it was like a low snow year in California, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You got snow like covering your feet, I imagine, in certain spots, right?
Yes, yeah. In certain spots. Luckily, I didn't encounter much snow. Mostly on the AT, I encountered snow. Some on the CDT, of course.
Really?
But I did hike in great conditions, which allowed for less clothing and extra gear for the harsh conditions. I didn't have a rain jacket, a sleeping bag, sleeping pad, but I would do a few things differently.
I know folks, and I try not to go backpacking with these folks, but any sort of adversity, anything, like just, you know, like stomach's not feeling great, they're not 100%, like they bail on the trip like that, any adversity. So the fact you can hike that far with an infected toe and then just try to, like, you know, work your wisdom or get the wisdom of others to figure out how to deal with that, that's impressive. So well done.
Right.
Well done.
Thank you.
So, Sam, with all three of the trails, which one did you enjoy the most? I'm sure they all had their own separate individual beauties, but which one did you really enjoy the most?
The Appalachian Trail.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
It was really hard, and I didn't think I would do it. I didn't think I'd complete the trail, and because I did, that was why I was so proud of it, getting to the end. Mm.
Is the Appalachian Trail rated harder than the PCT?
On trail, yes.
Oh, okay.
Even though it's shorter.
Okay. Well, it's like it's shorter, but it's got, like, from what I understand, they don't grade their trails up mountains. They just go straight up the mountain. So it's like a lot of steep ups and steep downs.
Oh, it's like the GDT that we did in July, huh? Yeah, straight up and down.
Yeah, you guys did the Great Divide Trail. No way.
No, we didn't. No, don't. When Mike says stuff like that, it implies that we actually completed the whole trail. We did a very small section of it.
We did.
Yeah. Sorry for misleading.
You were on the CD. You were on the Divide Trail. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Yeah. If you call it a trail.
Yeah. Those straight up and downs, I don't care for them very much. But
yes.
Yeah. Okay. So if you were to attempt this again, what would you do different? Would you bring more? Would you bring less? Would you bring something that you're missing? Or what would be your new strategy?
I would use more gear that I already had and plan further in advance. So instead of taking 1 month to think about doing the calendar year Triple Crown and going off and doing it, I would think about hiking one trail for 6 months and then get a permit and then think about another 6 months and then go hike the trail. And that learning process of taking the time to absorb the trail, the issue and the problem with the calendar year Triple Crown is it's not a smelling the roses situation. I think if I had done less smelling of the roses and more hiking, perhaps I would have finished. But my enjoyment in the trails was lightening up my pack. And that's what I took away at the end of the day. It was a stronger mind and a lighter pack.
So but part of the pull, it sounds like, was you want to do something that a lot of people haven't done. So if you're not going to go after the calendar year Triple Crown again, are you going to try to walk on the moon?
Yes. I'll be first in line. Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right.
I'll 3D print a rocket ship.
After the show, I'll give you Elon Musk's number, and you can contact him about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the way things are working, you're going to be seeing people on the moon and at Mars in your lifetime for sure.
That's right.
I should apply at SpaceX and get in one of their rockets and see if I can become an astronaut.
There you go.
That's right.
So hiking at night, though, I like where you're talking about stopping and smell the roses on the trail, because I get after Carl all the time because he hikes so quickly. So what kind of mileage were you doing on the trail? Like, what was your speed and what kind of miles were you doing on the trail?
Great question. I was trying to do marathons, and on the Pacific Crest Trail, I was trying to do 30 to 35 a day. On the CDT, I was trying to do 35s.
Wow. Jeez, that was a quick pace. Jeez, impressive, my friend, impressive.
Did you ever, I mean, if you're getting up in the middle of the night, I imagine like sometimes it'll be like night after night in between resupplies. Do you ever run out of like headlamp battery?
Yeah, in certain sections you'd run out of headlamp battery. My buddy Desert Jesus ran out of headlamp battery and hiked all of Oregon with no headlamp this year.
What?
Just looking closely at the ground and the roots and the rocks and all that stuff.
And a lot of tripping.
Yeah, exactly. I've done Sad Valley to Callahan's, and that's pretty intense up there. I couldn't imagine doing it without a headlamp.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I don't know how he did it. It's pretty crazy.
That is crazy.
Sam, seriously, man, this is so impressed with what you did, and I know that you're probably going to get some judgment from the backpacking community as people continue to find out about you, but like, I love people that you know, take calculated, adventurous risks. I think, you know, life's too short. Just get after it. So well done, my friend. If there's, I know you're on Instagram. I'm not sure if you're looking to kind of build your following, but if so, feel free to share how people can find you and what you got going on.
You can follow me at Shade Hikes on Instagram, and it'd be a pleasure to speak with you because I'm so interested in backpacking. I want to do this together with other backpackers that are interested in making this community stronger and growing it.
Awesome. Love it.
All right. Well, Sam, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl. Tupperware Mike. It was great meeting you.
It was great meeting you too, my friend. Good luck.
All right. We got 3-pound base weight, 5,000 miles of travel, digging a hole for his hip to have at least a little bit of comfort at night. Like, reaction. What you got?
Is this the Michael Jordan of backpacking? Is it? I feel like I want to. What was it? The intel about people on the moon, the number of people on the moon, or whatever.
Yeah,
there's more
people that have done that than have done. He didn't succeed. He didn't make the triple crown, so he's not in the select company yet.
I feel like Shade needs to come up with some catchy tagline like Neil Armstrong did. He's like the Neil Armstrong of the trail.
Okay,
you know, one small step for Carl is 5,000 for the rest of us. I don't know. Something like that. I don't know.
That's actually a compliment. I don't know if you thought
that. Oh, wait. I got to get that backwards. One, yeah, you know what I mean. Anyway, it's phenomenal. Like, and the fact that if I didn't have a sleeping bag and all the things to keep warm, like, we're babies with the cold. Like, my first thought is not like, well, I've slept in a bivy sack, but if I'm cold, I'm going to be like, I don't want to get up and start walking at 4 a.m.
Right.
And just be like dead tired. I don't know. I mean, kudos to him, though. That's crazy.
Okay, so this is a controversial thought here because obviously he's leaving a lot of items that people would say are essential at home. He's not bringing them. He doesn't have them. He does have his inReach, so he does have a safety net, but that's not necessarily an immediate thing. And so he's taking, he would call it calculated risk, but he's putting himself potentially in danger. And so I think some people are kind of the, you know, like the attaboy attitude, and some people are like, that is not smart. Where do you stand with that?
I mean, he knows himself better than we do. He's 21. He's still young. I mean, objectively speaking, yeah, it's more risky to not bring some of those things, I would say. You're risking like maybe possible hypothermia and all these other things if you don't stay warm to a degree. How many clothes did he bring? How many changes of clothes?
Yeah, we didn't cover the specifics with that.
The food, right? So, I mean, if he's eating enough and he's moving and some people just have more energy than other people. Clearly, he's got a lot. So,
right.
I mean, again, I think if he's willing to, and he understands, like, yeah, I'm risking a lot by not bringing a bunch of the stuff. Like, if it rains a bunch and I have no tent, I guess we're just going to wing it, right? So I think in that regard, I think the biggest risk to me would be fatigue. Like, if you're not getting enough sleep and you're going all those miles.
Yeah.
Delirium. So that's probably a big risk.
You're breaking it down, Derek. But in the end, you've got to decide. He's telling you, this is what I'm going to do. Would you say I support you? Or you may want to think twice about that.
If I knew him,
yeah,
and I'm like, oh, this guy pulls all-nighters all the time, then
I'd
say,
that's
like,
true. We don't have the background. You're right.
Then I'd be like, yeah, go for it.
Okay.
You know, I would say have like your emergency contact like out, but clearly this is, and he's the kind of guy clearly is like, once he gets his mind around it, he's going to do it anyway. Like, he's going for it. So in that case, yeah, I would support and just try to be there. But
knowing this wasn't his first backpacking trip, because a lot of people will start long trails and it's like their first trip and then
it's like
a disaster zone. So knowing it wasn't his first backpacking trip, I actually am in full support of I would call it a calculated risk. He had a strategy down. I'm not saying that a bad thing couldn't have happened, like a freak snowstorm, whatever you want to say. Like, that just stuff can happen. You can take a fall. Like, there's lots of different ways to die when you're outside. But I like the calculated risk. I'm not the person who's shaking the finger. So, especially when you're that young, I don't know. I felt like, and I probably still feel like, I've got something to prove. And so I would have been highly motivated. And I think when people feel like they have something to prove, especially when they're a young adult, that motivation can comfort them over a lot of ailments, such as not sleeping well, or such as not having a nice place to sleep ever, or having to nap during the day, right?
Well, just the fact that, like, fewer people have done this than walked to the moon.
Yeah.
If I have that in my head, like, that's a pretty huge compliment. Yeah. Absolutely. And if I'm 21, I'd be like, I could see you doing that if you're 21 and you know.
Yeah. I was, but I also live life, like, very structured. So the thought of taking time off, you really have to take like 2 years off of college to do that. If I were to do that, And to do that, like, I would have, I don't know, like, that would have been tough for me to do.
Yeah, it's commitment.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where he stands with all that. But anyway, I found it impressive. So I'm surprised. Were you surprised he didn't get more pushback when he was actually out on the trail? He's miles from civilization. Surely people had conversations with him. Like, hey, are you day hiking? Like, you're pretty far for a day hiker. Oh, no, I'm just hiking the Pacific Crest Trail.
And then you see his equipment.
Like, with that pack? Like, really?
I'm sure people. I'm kind of surprised. Yeah. I mean,
I thought you'd get more pushback, to be honest.
Would you have pushed back in our age? I can see like older people pushing back. I don't know. Would you push back?
No, I mean, I would have been like, hey, I know you want to keep going, but this is amazing what you're doing. And I would have probably tried to interview him on the spot, to be honest.
It's fair.
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
Let's get the podcast out.
You know what you'd have done. You'd been like, Carl, is this the trip where we said we're going to bring our scale? Let's weigh his pack right now.
Oh, legend. The legend weigh in right there.
On the spot trail pack
weigh in. 8 pounds. That's all he had.
The food? Yeah. It's got to be under 10, right?
It's like nothing. Yeah. He must have just been flying.
I mean, 30 plus miles a day.
Yeah.
So
just flying.
He's got the youth for the recovery. I don't know. I thought his story was impressive. And also what surprised me was I thought Backpacker Magazine was done, but I guess they're online now. And so that came out on like a Backpacker Magazine website, I guess. And that's where.
Wow. Kudos to Shade. There's no shade to throw at you after this accomplishment for sure. So. Nice job.
Doug from California turned me on to the story. And so, Doug, thank you so much, because this was definitely an interesting story. So,
yeah.
All right. 3 pound base weight. There you go. There's your standard for the next trip, Derek.
That's the name of the movie coming out. 3 pound base weight. The Shade Man. The Man of Shade.
Shade. Okay. Speaking of 3 pounds, I got 3 pound trivia coming up right after this.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping, MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
It's time to up your trail game, folks. If you suffer from extreme soreness, exhaustion, or like Carl, impossibly weak shoulders, then reach out to Rowan, our good friend from Summit Strength. He'll help you get fit, strong, and resilient so that you can conquer your next great adventure. Don't rely on the random and unverified nonsense you find online. Rowan uses rock-solid evidence and years of experience to get you trail ready for all circumstances. Uneven terrain, another long climb after a series of long climbs, your discouraging partner telling you that you can't make it. The link to your success is always in our episode description, but you can always check out all the information you need at summitstrength.com.au/online. Once again, that's summitstrength.com.au/online. It's time to be strong and pain-free for your next adventure.
All right. So Derek, this is all multiple choice.
Ooh.
It's all about 3 pounds.
Oh.
Okay. 3 pounds. You had to know I was going to do this. You had to know it was going to be something about 3 pounds, right?
Locked in. Here we go.
I think you're going to fail this trivia, I'll be honest.
Because you rigged it. Because you want me to fail this year. Because you're bitter about last
okay,
year.
Okay, one question you should straight up know the answer to without even needing multiple choice.
I do the same thing to you and say these same things to you. And then you get all, you like last time, you go, oh, you say this all the time. I should know it.
And I got it wrong because so I didn't know the answer. I was close.
And it makes me feel more stupid. Like, oh, I guess I should have had that right. Should I have
got that right? Well, there's one that you should know. The other one, like that being said, my wife didn't know the answer to that one, so maybe not. The other ones, one you can definitely process through. If you really think through it and know your stuff, and you're a good processor, you got a good chance on that one. Mm. The other one, you should just know better that I was going to ask this question, so I'll just say that.
All right.
Number one, which of the following weighs about 3 pounds?
Oh, jeez.
A half gallon of water. B, a deck of cards.
No.
C, the Big Agnes Copper Spur 4-person tent that we bring.
Oh, jeez.
D, Mr. Peebles, the world's smallest cat.
That's so dumb.
That is a real cat, by the way.
I'm going to say no to Peebles.
Okay.
I'm going to say no to the deck of cards. It's either the tent or what was it, the half gallon of water?
Yeah.
I think a gallon's about 4 pounds, I want to say 5 pounds. Can't remember how, I'm trying to remember my water.
You're going to get this one wrong. If you don't know how much water weighs, this is rough. Mm. This is a common thing to know as a backpacking person, let alone a podcast host, my friend.
Don't give me the guilt.
I'm not guilty. I'm scolding you.
Okay. A half gallon of water is around... No, it's more than that. It's like 8 pounds, 9 pounds, 7 pounds. So it's got to be the tent.
All right.
Tent.
So, all right. So you're going to the tent?
Tent.
All right. That, of all the items, that was the second heaviest. That tent weighs about 6 to 7 pounds.
I thought it was like 3 or 4.
Not even close. A 4-person tent, man? Not even close, man. Yeah, it's massive. Water, you got it. You actually did figure out water, so impressive. So I give you
water
kudos there. Water
is it the cat?
It's the cat. It's the cat. Mr. Peebles, the world's smallest cat. Because water weighs 8 pounds to the gallon, so that's 4 pounds. So that was close. And so you had to know how much our tent weighs. But I guess maybe not, since you don't ever sink and carry it or help out in that area, then maybe that was unreasonable. I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm carrying other heavy things for you.
No, you're not. You put it in my pack. You don't carry other things.
I think you put it in there and like get that mat. You're like, I'll carry it. And then you get mad that like nobody else offered to carry it.
I'm not mad.
Like, I'll carry it. And then you're like, nobody wanted to carry it.
You literally, we brought a drone last year. That was your only group gear. You brought the drone and you shoved it in my pack on day two, halfway through day two.
And the battery pack itself is like 2 pounds.
Yeah. So
you're welcome.
I was carrying 4 pounds worth of group gear up to 6 pounds.
I carry the weight of your bad jokes the whole trip.
See, this is deflecting. You're deflecting. Number two, 3 pounds is how many ounces?
Oh, it's what? 16 times 3?
A, 48, B, 32, C, 16, D, 3.
48.
See, that's what I knew that you should know. That's good. That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks. Simple math.
But this is the hardest one. It's down
to
this
one.
Was
that like an insult? Like if I didn't get that?
No, my wife didn't get that one. She didn't get it.
What?
Not everybody knows how many ounces are in a pound. Backpackers usually do, though.
Grams. Well, if you said grams, I would have had a problem.
Okay. I'm not going to say grams. I'm definitely not saying grams.
Okay.
Number three. 3 pounds is about how many kilograms?
I refuse to answer.
A, 1.4.
Wait, you're actually doing this?
Yes, I have. This is legit the third question.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't want grams, so I did kilograms. A, 1.4, B, 2, C, 6, D, 3.
Wait, really? Okay, wait. 3 pounds is how many kilograms? Wait, do it again? One more time?
A, 1.4.
1.4.
B, 2, C, 6, D, 3.
It's not 3. That would be stupid. It's got to be... I'm calculating and feeling it. It's got to be like 1.3 something. So if you round up, it's 1.4. 1.4.
So you're going with 1.4? Yeah. Correct! You got it! You did it! You passed me. I thought for sure you were going to pass for me.
You gave
one.
Me like math stuff, so that's probably...
Oh my gosh. That's so funny. Mm.
Let's check. What is it actually? Let me see.
It's like about 1.4.
It's 1.36. So you round
up. So how
do
you know that and you don't know grams? How do you know kilograms, not grams?
Because I was just helping my kid with math, and I think they
just
were talking
divide.
About
it. Just divide. Okay. If that's the case, I'm going to start throwing gram questions back at you.
No, let's not do the grams, please.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. I got talking about that. Yeah, I got to talk about that pack weigh-in video. That was my only tidbit. So I don't have any tidbits this time.
No tidbits?
I guess I could say if you want some bribery stickers, we got some Bad Packing Busters stickers. I'll send them to you immediately. Mm. Just leave a review on our Apple Podcast app. We would love that. Or join Patreon. Like, we'll throw them at you. If you're looking for more content, you're looking for more Derek time, you're looking for bonus episodes, ad-free episodes, all the good stuff, Patreon trips, please consider.
All right. That sounds good. That's all I got. We'll see you next time, guys. Remember, if you need to, hike a long way, remember, Carl is probably the George Costanza from Seinfeld of hiking. He just can barely make it out of the parking lot before he starts acting like something's wrong with him. And you're always on that trip, dude. It's a fight. It's a fight I'll never have to stop fighting because I love you. I don't know where I'm going with that, but that's reality of what I'm in.
Best closing ever.
Best closing ever. Adios. Carl talks about the salmon that I put in his pack long ago. First of all, it wasn't an actual salmon. It was just an empty, sealed wrapper. And he'll naysay if he ever hears this. That's fine. But I was challenging him because the base weight of that sealed, juicy salmon wrapper was about 1.4 kilograms. And he never picked up on that. So he's really bad with weight. And that's why I have to carry his water and his bladder full of urine. And he packs all of it out. And it's horrible. And sometimes you got to take one for the team. That's what I do every day.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawk's Cay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience. Brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts. Every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. The destination for outdoor entertainment. Join Captain Justin Leak and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.